Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Bacon Smiles podcast. Again, trying to be a little quiet, but as always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend
Evan Shaw Mumford.
That's right. Episode 43.
Your daughter dabbing.
Yep, that's right. I am definitely using Zoe for my marketing of this podcast. If anyone follows me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, I just shared a picture of my daughter. She's trying to eat her arm, but it looks like she's dabbing.
She's straight up dabbing.
She's excited for the new episode of the Bacon Smiles podcast. All right, so the show rundown today is going to go like this. Zoe had her baptism.
Which was a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah, and then we have class this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, a little bit about how confirmation class is going for both of us. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of want to talk about what Bacon Smiles means, just because I feel like it can kind of get lost. I know it's on the website, but if you don't really go to the website and you just subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or some other way, then you might not know. Also, youth group. We want to talk about youth group, so it kind of ties in what Bacon Smiles means into youth group and all that. And then we kind of want to talk about what our favorite activities are at youth group and kind of what brought us into youth group when we were teens and how it's different now. And then this is going to be our regular check-in with Evan, see how it's going in married life. It's been about 4 months.
4 months.
Since he got married, so we're going to do a little check-in. A
little report card session.
Yeah. Then Evan has music. Then I will do gospel reading. And then we have Saint of the Day, Saint Ansgar, the unsuccessful saint.
Oh.
But very successful in dedicating his life to Christ. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool story. And then you have News of the Weird.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's get into this. So you actually came to Zoe's baptism.
Yeah. Yeah. Over at Sacred Heart.
Yeah. It was awesome. Just an awesome day. Mm-hmm. Zoe was super attentive and quiet and just looking on and mesmerized by the whole thing. She had her pretty dress on and it was just an awesome day.
And the music was good too. And you know, the few times that I've visited at your church, hearing the violinist up on the altar just does a beautiful job
with the music. And they do a great job with the music at Sacred Heart. And just Monsignor is so great.
Good sense of humor, too.
Great sense of humor. Yeah. And, his joke is that when he hired me, he asked me to grow the youth group, and apparently I took it the wrong way, that I was going to be growing my own youth group at home by expanding my family. So that was, he said that at the altar.
Right before the closing prayer.
My brother was there, my Aunt Janet, Evan and Jen, and the Piggott family, and Linda and Tom, and it's just so great. And Zoe's godparents, of course, were there because they kind of ought to be there.
Yeah.
Brett and Jacqueline, who were just amazing, faithful young people. Mm. And when Eva and I were thinking about who's going to be her godparents, and it's like, okay, who do we have a good relationship with? But who's also, like, super into their faith, and that will be such a great influence and share their faith with her. And I mean, you can't go wrong with Brett and Jacqueline.
Right.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind me sharing this because Brett is an awesome young man. He is discerning religious life. So, like, how cool would it be, you know, Zoe's godfather is a religious brother or a priest, you know? Like, just how cool would that be? Not that he's still going to be a great godfather either way, but just that honest and open connection. Discernment. And then the fact that he is that dedicated to his faith, he's going to share that with my daughter. Mm. Like, you can't ask for a better godfather than that.
Right.
You know? And it's like, I have two godchildren, and I'm like, okay, I gotta step my game up. You know, and my two godchildren, my godson Jackson and my goddaughter Kayanna, like, I try to be a good influence and in their lives and be as good of a Christian as I can be. And so I know that that's what Zoe's godparents will be. Jacqueline is so great and so amazing and so faithful. You know, she just lives her faith every day. Mm. That's important.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, it was such a beautiful day. Beautiful ceremony, and so great to have you guys there. And my sister-in-law, Sarah, made an awesome cake.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was just great.
Yeah.
You know? And everyone at the church coming up and congratulating us.
Right.
And just and
taking a look at her while going up for communion.
Yeah. It just so great.
She ate up every moment of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All eyes are on me.
Yeah. But she was just dabbing. It was like she understood the moment without understanding the moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, she really was there, was present. Yeah. And when she was being baptized,
I always brought that up.
So she's laying there, and Monsignor's like, in the name of the Father, and pours.
Yeah.
In the name of the Son, pours, like a little bit, just touches her head. And then, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he like dumped the rest of it on her. And it like went in her face.
She started spasming.
He said, he asked like how she was with water beforehand.
Yeah.
And Eva was like, well, she does really good in water. She's fine. It's when you go to dry her off that she hates. So he was like, well, I'll just give her to you then. I'll give the towel to you. And so he said that beforehand. And so he dumped the water on her and then just covered her in a towel. So there's I'm pretty sure that that Sarah has a picture of her just with a towel over her head from the baptism. So it's just so good.
Yeah.
But it was just a great day, and I'm just really, really glad that everyone was able to come and just enjoy the day and share it with us. And it was actually really cool to do it during Mass. I know a lot of people will do it after Mass, and Eva and I were kind of a little concerned with, like, oh, are people going to be upset because it makes Mass longer? And, you know, that little inkling of that. But it was so beautiful having it during
Mass. And I think it's nice, too, because it's a reminder to everyone that's attending the Mass. This is new life being brought into our church.
And that's what it's about, growing the church and bringing people in, not just an infant's baptism, but also just bringing in more people and growing the church. You know? So, yeah, it was great. I really am glad with our decision to have it during Mass, you know.
Amen.
So, class this Sunday.
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Have to change it up, do it in the morning, which is in the evening, so teens show up.
And it's always one of those things where it's like, you know, do we just move it to the next week? And it just works out better to do it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Meet as a group with Mass, and then go in and have our class discussion.
Yeah.
You know, and... what do you know? What's your class on?
So our theme is going to be on healthy relationships.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And mine, as long as I have my schedule correct, I think it's on forgiveness and reconciliation. Okay. So, that's what ours is going to be on. I get to choose, so I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to be.
that's what you're going forward with from today on.
I kind of laid out the rest of my year and trying to remember which one I chose. Because I only have one class. It's not, you know, we're at St. Teresa of Calcutta. You guys have a few ninth grade classes.
Right, we have three or four classes that happen a Sunday.
Yeah, so... I have a nice, smaller group.
Yeah. You say that now. It's going to grow pretty quickly.
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah,
I'm excited for it. Now, you also have a winter retreat coming up.
We do. We have it coming up in a little less than, well, it's actually this month, now that we're in February.
Yeah. So now, is theme still a secret?
It is still a secret, yes. So for our teens that listen to this, I can't divulge it.
You can't divulge it, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, right? in the past, and I can say this because we're not doing the same thing every year.
Yeah, of course.
But in the past, we've done like a beach theme. We've done, 1 year we did the Grammys.
Yep. Olympics.
Olympics, yeah. So we try to make it, the Olympics was fun because when we did it, it was right during the Winter Olympics.
It was that
weekend.
So it
was very, very relevant.
Yeah.
So it was,
I still have my medal around here somewhere.
Yeah,
actually, multiple medals, because I have the one that everyone got, and then, you know, I had to go ahead and win some events.
There you go. So yeah, we're looking forward to this one. It involves an acronym that actually two of our most quietest kids in the planning team came up with.
Oh, that's so
which
great.
I was so pumped for.
That's so awesome.
I kept looking at them, and I didn't want to be pushy, but at the same time, I was saying, so what do you guys got? Anything?
Yeah.
No. I was like, okay. Then all of a sudden, as we're trying to break apart this acronym, one of the girls just spit something out. I looked at her and go, where did that come from?
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So I'm excited for it.
No, yeah, that's great. And I always loved how, it would materialize, you know, and the prayer experiences would come together and stuff like that. And so, yeah, that's one of the things I'm really going to miss this year, because as my youth group is growing, I definitely don't have enough kids to try to do a voluntary overnight weekend retreat. I have 9 kids in my confirmation program, so I want to get something going, you know? So I'm hoping, actually, I can get some interest to have some of my kids go on your retreat.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And, maybe I'll show up randomly.
All right.
I'll sneak in.
Give you a camera.
Who's that weird guy over in the corner?
The guy with the beard.
Yeah, I can't really sneak anywhere.
No.
Especially
little Jesus pun t-shirt.
Yeah.
Don't hit me because I'm a little cooler.
But yeah, that's you're looking forward to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's always a great time. And it's one of my favorite things that as a program we did for so long.
Well, that's what pulled me in. You know, I was going to CCD as a teenager going to the confirmation classes, and they were good, but it was really the retreat that really pulled me into my faith.
Yeah.
And now they can't get rid of me. it's fun to be able to continue going on these retreats and seeing the teens' eyes light up when they get it, and just having fun and just being themselves and being, you know, separated from the technology and distractions.
Yeah, and, well, that kind of leads us to one of our next topics, where it's like, what was one of the moments that brought you in? What was when you were in high school, the quiet kid?
the awkward quiet kid, yeah. Matt Chepeleff, I believe, was DJing when I went to Winter Retreat.
Okay.
Back, and that was 2002.
Brian Nelson.
And just the music that was involved, that's what really started to pull me in. And just people that just came up to me. And they were, in high school, there were a lot of cliques in my high school. So seeing kids that would typically fall into certain cliques that I didn't belong in.
Yeah.
Actually come up and have conversations with me and just not care of, you know, what I... And Godspell, MJ Thompson just sent that through on the Facebook Live.
That's
Godspell
so
pulled me in as well, and just the laid backness of everyone, of just being able to just mingle and have fun together regardless of cliques.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
And the fact that you were that super awkward kid, willing to be in Godspell and willing to just have fun and be goofy, and you really kind of like changed over the years. For me, I was the kid who was like, oh, this is the dumbest thing ever. I hate every second of this. To then being like, well, I can just have fun and be goofy, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
And then it was like, faith is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
But so with youth group, it was totally interesting, because my favorite thing to do now is just to have fun, and make messes and everything. Like this past week at youth group, we did pudding pants. For those of you who don't know what pudding pants is, it's when you have the kids pull pantyhose over their head and try to eat chocolate pudding through it.
We did that on retreat last year. That was excellent.
Yep. The greatest thing ever is, so I had six kids at youth group, and no one hesitated. I was like, here's your dollar store pantyhose. You need to put these on your head. And they're like, Okay. Pull it down. And then I'm like, here's pudding. Open your pudding
bag. You mentioned before the podcast, Brett helped you out.
Of course he did.
So did he tell them the story about when he accidentally waterboarded himself?
Brett waterboarding himself because he needed to rinse off the pantyhose to do it again.
Just stuck his head back, not thinking it through.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, MJ, I definitely do all the crazy games. And that's what I love, is because that's what gets kids out of their comfort zone. Yeah. And that's what helped me get out of my comfort zone and just be like, get competitive. Right. My favorite game to do, and I do it at every retreat that I run for other parishes, so spoiler alert, Spittoon. Yeah. It's the grossest game in history, but it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Because if you can do it outside, I have these little, like, kid sand buckets. You put a ping pong ball in it, and then you have a 5-gallon bucket of water, and the first person in each line takes a Dixie cup, puts it in the bucket, puts the water in their mouth, runs down to the bucket, and spits that water in the bucket, and the object is to get the ping pong ball out. Every single time. I must have run this game over 100 times.
Yeah.
Easily. Every single time. It starts off with, we're going to do what?
Yeah.
And, oh, come on. This is gross. People are putting their hands in there. And there's grass in there. This is gross. And then I'm like, ready, go. And they're like, they'll dunk their cup in, throwing water in their mouth. They throw their cup on the ground, run down, come back, pick up a cup. It might not even be their cup. And then they're running. Let's go. And then when it's over, I'm like, so what happened? So what happened to it being gross?
Yeah. My favorite memory of that is, I think it was last summer. We were doing that on youth group. You were leading it. And I was up against a team where one of my confirmation students, Tegan, was in the opposite team. And somehow we always ended up running neck to neck over to the end line.
Yeah.
And so I'd bolt ahead as hard as I could, get to my bucket, and as audibly and loudly possible, just
spit it out.
Yeah. And she would laugh so hard. She'd lose it all.
It'd be like a pout, like
one foot away from her bucket, and she'd get so mad. And she goes, stop! Well, the next time we ended up running down, same thing. So
Yeah.
It was so funny.
And that's why I love running that game. And There's a few other games that I do, and there's a purpose behind them other than just being silly. And it's because we get in our own way, right? Mm-hmm. So how many times have we just said, no, that's gross, or no, we can't do that. That's silly, and I don't want to do that, where it could have been an awesome time.
Yeah.
And that's the point of that game. And so that's where I try to get that tie-in. And that's why that's one of my favorite activities to do. And activities like that, you know, like even poop the potato, it's just fun.
Yeah. Well, one class, what I ended up doing, and normally I do this for their second year class, once they really get to know each other, I say to the students, all right, pair up, you know, we're going to do trust falls.
Okay.
And they freak out about it.
And
understandably, you know, but there was one class where finally it was just one person that was willing to do it. So a bunch of people stood around, they fell back and was caught.
That's
and everything.
Awesome.
And I said, you know, how can we tie this into our faith?
Yeah.
And it's
huge.
Just dove right in and said, you know, sometimes taking that leap of faith and going, okay, I'm going to fall back and trust that God's going to catch me. Is freaky. It's terrifying sometimes, but he's always going to be there.
Well, and it's also trying to teach you that you can trust someone else.
Right, exactly.
You know, even at its most basic level, That's important. Yeah. It's important to understand that you can rely on other people sometimes. Because I do feel like somehow we've gotten to this point where it's like, I can do it myself. I can do everything on my own. And so, yeah, that's another faith-based thing where it's like, you have to have faith in God, and you have to have faith in people,
right,
in a sense that you need to be able to trust in others, or else you're just going through life on your own, you know? That's not fun.
No. No.
But, yeah, so that's... So what do you think is different from when you were a teenager, I was a teenager? What do you think is, like, one of the biggest differences?
Technology is a big part of it. One thing that I'm planning on doing for winter retreat this year, and I'm okay with sharing this, is I'm actually looking to do a little Snapchat filter for Sunday when everyone gets their phones back.
Okay.
A little geo filter so that anyone that's in that retreat center can go do a selfie and then swipe, and then little winter retreat squad or something like that pops
up.
So that they can tell their friends where they were this weekend and also have a fun little picture and stuff like that.
Yeah. But see, the interesting thing is how many kids want to be the first one to say that they were on winter retreat. Because a friend of mine is who's actually now the new vocations director for the diocese, Father Casey. He runs youth group at the cathedral, and he put together this game of, like, Instagram and Snapchat, and he was like, you know, it's like a scavenger hunt. Take a selfie with these things you find in the cathedral. Right. And, like, all the kids, like, created new accounts to do the scavenger hunt because they didn't want their friends knowing that they were having fun at church. Huh. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, I believe it, but, yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and so that's, I'm like, It'll be so cool when, you know, you're doing this filter and it's like,
yeah,
I'm happy. This is what I did all weekend.
Right.
You should have been here. That kind of thing. Like, that's really cool.
Right.
You know, when you break that, break through that.
One thing that was really cool was last month when we did our confirmation class, we actually combined my class with another class. So it was a really, really big class.
I was going to say, you have a large group.
And so Nick was the peer minister for that class. And he said, oh, you got to come into our classroom. We have Kahoot. And one of my other peer ministers is going, yeah, they have Kahoot. I'm like, what on earth is Kahoot?
Yeah.
I went in and he had his computer hooked up to the TV by HDMI cable.
Yeah.
And had this website up, which is Kahoot with a K.
Yeah.
And it's singular. Because you could get in trouble if you go for the plural one online.
Yeah, stay with it.
I won't go any further than that. But I go in, and they turn on the TV, and all the students go nuts. So I'm like, oh, my God, it's Kahoot! They pull out their phones, and it's like Jackbox games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where you connect
you
with a
code.
You play
from your phone, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then they start bringing up, because it was the first Sunday of Advent.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's all questions about Advent, trivia questions. And then on your phone, you hit the answer that you think is the correct answer.
Yeah.
And then it shows a rank of who's correct by score and everything.
Okay. That's really cool.
And then it just kept going on and going. I'm sitting there, jaw hanging open, because they're completely engaged in this. And I said, Nick, is this like something that Kahoot came up with? Or he goes, no, we created this last year.
Yeah, it's make your own game.
Yeah. I said, this is incredible. So yeah, that's a new thing too.
Yeah.
That is an awesome thing that I learned about just last month.
And that's great. It's so important to have peer ministers who are super engaged and on fire with their faith. And that's what you get. You get peer ministers who create their own game, trivia-based game for Advent. And it gets the kids fired up.
Yeah.
And they don't know that
they had a little competition, too, and that's what got them all hyped
up. Man, I'm telling you, even people who say they're not competitive are competitive.
Yeah.
You know? It's in almost everyone's nature.
Right.
I'm
more uncompetitive than you.
Yeah.
No, I'm more uncompetitive.
So, just talking about having fun, and I mentioned earlier that I wanted to go into what Bacon Smiles means and how I came up with the name And basically, I was looking for something scripture related that had to do with me.
Bacon.
And I love bacon. But so Luke 6:21, make sure I'm right on that. those who are hungry shall be fed, and those who are weeping shall laugh. What that means to me is that God is always there to feed us when we need to be fed and to make us smile and laugh when we need to smile. And when we're in our darkest times, God's going to be there and he's going to put a smile on your face somehow, some way. Whether it's the people that you meet, whether it's the people that he's already put in your life that make you laugh in your darkest times. That's what this ministry is about. So Bacon Smiles, it's an acronym. Believe always Christ offers new smiles. Like, that's a thing. Like, that's the reason that I do this. That's the reason that I have such a strong faith in God, is that in my darkest times, God has put the best people that I know in my life. And he has made me smile and he has made me laugh. And I can't imagine what my life would be like without faith, because in my darkest times, God has gotten me through it. You know, it's important. And that's why we like doing this and having a good time and laughing and joking around and all that stuff. But that's what it means to me, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think with the Bacon Smiles and with the scripture passage that...
Yeah, and you said you kind of flipped right to that page, right?
Yeah,
discovered it.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was like, I'm looking for something, like, I was searching for something about, like, laughing and smiling, because for those of you who don't know, I have a tattoo on my forearm that says keep smiling, and that's because my Uncle Mike never said goodbye his entire life. He always said keep smiling. And it was, keep smiling for the best is yet to come. And so that's part of the reason I chose smiles instead of laughing.
Yeah.
Because smiles are awesome and making others smile.
They're infectious, too.
Yeah, and when you can smile and make others smile, it's how you can share God's love with the
good
world.
Good ministry.
Absolutely. So... Music.
So the Grammy Awards were this past weekend.
Yeah.
And so Zach Williams won Contemporary Christian Album of the Year for Chainbreaker. And Hillsong Worship won Contemporary Christian Song of the Year for Beautiful Name.
Oh, okay.
So congratulations to them. If you're looking for a brand new song to listen to, these songs got me hyped up recently as I was looking for songs for Winter Retreat, trying to find some nice poppy stuff for the teenagers. Britt Nicole has a new song called Work of Art, and kind of going off of what we're talking about value and trying to remind teenagers that they're all masterpieces in God's eyes. Very, very fun, very, very poppy, good infectious song, Britt Nicole, Work of Art. Also, The Young Escape is a brand new band, and they have a song out called The Good Life, which is very catchy as well. As far as albums go, next week, Zealand Worship, which has Phil Joel, who used to play for the Newsboys.
Oh, yeah.
He now leads this new group called Zealand Worship. They have a new project out called Liberated, coming out next week. And then the following week is Michael W. Smith's A Million Lights.
Awesome.
So that'll be February 16th.
It's always cool when Michael W. Smith drops another album.
It's incredible looking at his picture too, because he's 60 and he doesn't look it at all.
Yeah, no, we saw him in concert. That's what, 6 years ago now, maybe a little more.
At least I think it's been a little more than that. But yeah.
I'm just trying to think how vibrant and like just how much life he exuded.
Yeah,
you know, like playing.
Well, I think what helps too is he's sort of like a musical chameleon. You know, every decade he was trying to kind of work his music into the style of that decade, whatever was trendy there.
Amazing songwriter,
and still to this day he can make a song that's very poppy and fits with today's standard. And I think that's what keeps you young.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it keeps you relatable with the youth.
How amazing is that, though?
Yeah.
Like, when you think about just how his just ability to lead worship and mm-hmm. just exude that Holy Spirit, you know, and just, it's just so great. So awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Talented man.
Absolutely. All right. Gospel?
Bibble?
Got my Bibble.
Got your Bibble.
So you can hear it and everything. Once I've paged through it. All right, so we're at Mark 6, 7 through 13. He summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money. No money in their belts. There were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. They drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So awesome. just my thing is so it, Jesus comes to you and says, "All right, I need you to go out and cure people who have demons in them and people who are sick, anoint them with oil and go do that." But you're not allowed to take anything with you at all. You can wear sandals, but you're not allowed to wear a coat.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what a second tunic means. Like, you're not allowed to wear a jacket. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And just...
You're like, what?
And then, just go wherever you go. Go into a house and, like, don't leave right away. And hang out until everyone is well. And then... But if they don't listen to you, just show them that you're upset by kicking off the dust of your feet. But basically just saying, like, you know, we're very disappointed in you, and show your disappointment that you don't see that we're trying to help. Mm-hmm. It's just so great. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the beginning of the sacraments.
Right.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
And they were preaching on repentance, and teaching about receiving God's grace. He gave the power to the disciples to do that. That's reconciliation, if you think about it. The anointing with oils, the anointing of the sick and dying, you know?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. How cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and that's, as I get, trust me, as I get more and more into my Bibble, and I get in there and I think about stuff like that, I think about, like, oh, man, this is where... it comes from. This is Jesus' teachings of my disciples will be the first priests, the first people to share me with the world.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what?
Right. I mean, what stood out too is when it says gave them authority over unclean spirits.
Yeah.
As if he gave them, like, some sort of blessing. Like, normally you'd think, oh, he would have authority over them, but then he passed it on and said, no, you're also having authority over them.
And that's why priests can perform exorcisms.
Right.
You know, Father Marchin, exorcist of Archdiocese of Harvard.
Yeah.
That's real. That's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
I only laugh because that's, like, kind of really cool. You know, like, it's just, when people ask, you know, what makes you Catholic and stuff like that. Mm. And, well, Catholics have all these rules and traditions and things like that. And it doesn't say anything about that in the Bible. Like, but it does.
But it does.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to be educated in kind of what we were talking about last podcast with you can have a disagreement without getting angry, and you can have a disagreement without hating the other person.
Right.
And or just feeling hurt or being confrontational. But right there, that is in Scripture, Jesus sending out the disciples to anoint with oil the sick and the dying and cure them. Like, that's the disciples doing that, not just Jesus.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's what I got from that.
Very good.
All right. So,
Saint of the Day.
Yeah, Saint of the Day. I'm going to pull it up on my phone just because I...
The unsuccessful saint.
Well, so it doesn't say that on Franciscan media, but other places where I looked up his story. his actual name is the Apostle of the North. He had enough frustrations to become a saint, is the first line.
Okay.
So he was called to go off and try to convert people in Sweden. And Sweden asked for Christian missionaries, and he was like, cool, I'll go, right? So he was there for 3 years, and when he first got there, he was captured by pirates.
Okay.
Yep. And he had many hardships, and so he was there for a long time, and then he was called somewhere else, and, like, almost immediately after he left, everyone went back to being pagans. And so then he went to Hamburg. He was the bishop of Hamburg, and he was there for many years and converted many people, and then it got invaded and the city was burned to the ground by invaders. And so this is like where the name the unsuccessful saint comes from. And so when he lived his whole life in dedication to Christ, but he never really had these amazing success stories,
right,
where, you know, you can kind of like talk about these huge conversions and kind of led the Catholic Church in certain areas and stuff like that. He didn't have that. But what he did have was dedication, and he kept at it, and he lived to a ripe old age. His goal was to be a martyr. He went into areas where Catholics were being killed and still wanted to preach God's word, and it didn't happen to him. So he then just kept at it and kept going, and that's how he became a saint, because he, you know,
yeah,
he kept at it.
Yeah.
So
he was stoic and determined.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you don't have to live a perfect life. You don't have to have amazing things going on to be a saint. You can just keep going and stay with it, because that's just as important.
And what was the saint's name again?
Saint Ansgar.
Ansgar.
Yep.
Okay.
Saint of the day, Saint Ansgar.
Very good.
All right, what you got for news of the weird?
So this tugs at the heartstrings a little bit, but it does have a little funny twist at the end of it.
Yeah.
So this woman in South Africa, her name is Fidri Fitton. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. 4 years ago, she passed away, and her dying wish to her husband was that he would water the plants, take care of the plants that she had set up in the bathroom.
Okay.
And he was not one with a green thumb or anything, but
okay,
he was very, very dedicated, and his daughter said it was amazing how religiously he watered these plants and took care of them, and she said they looked absolutely amazing, just the care that he put into it. And so he ended up getting moved to an elderly home where it was where he could be looked after, and he decided to bring the plants along with him. So as his daughter came over to help pack everything up, she's like, why is the floor all wet? Apparently, before she died, the wife went out and bought a bunch of fake plants and set them up all over the place.
No!
And then said, I want you to water the plants. Because she was a practical joker. So
no!
She had the last laugh And he was so amused by that. She ended up posting it on Twitter, and it went all over the news. And he was laughing and was just overjoyed. So,
all these years.
Yeah, for four years.
He was watering fake plants. Oh, that's
could you imagine feeling that? Good. Like that, setting up that joke as your line. Please water the plants.
Oh my goodness.
Please take care of plants.
That is fantastic. All right, hopefully Eva doesn't listen to this, because she is definitely outliving me, and I'm going to get something that she's got to do that's a practical joke. It's watering the plants, it's got to happen. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, that music means it's time to wrap it up, and it's going to keep getting louder and louder.
Like the Grammys.
Thanks always for listening. Join in on the fun at Facebook Live. Thanks for you guys. Go to Facebook Live and watch us live on there. You can go to bacon-smiles.org under contact and email me. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and all that stuff. But as always, thanks so much for listening. Subscribe on iTunes. However you listen to us, we appreciate you listening. As always, I'm Steve Patera.
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Keep smiling, and God bless.